أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
In the name of God, the Merciful.
والحمد لله رب العالمين.
I thank God.
والصلاة والسلام على
سيدنا Peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad, son of Abdullah. Peace also be upon his family. Peace be upon all his friends and colleagues. Peace be upon all prophets. Distinguished guests, representatives of the three political leaders, the President, Parliament Speaker and Prime Minister, former President Emile Lahoud, distinguished guests, all religious figures, all those present, the representatives of the diplomatic delegations, the official delegations, and especially the delegation of the Islamic Republic of Iran, my brothers, the representatives of the Lebanese parties, the Palestinian factions as well, the families of the martyrs, the families of the freed detainees, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum to all of you, peace be upon you all. I welcome you all to this national wedding ceremony. Welcome. Welcome to Samir, welcome Maher, welcome Khudr, welcome Hussein, and welcome Muhammad. And welcome also, I'd like also to welcome the martyrs whom we will welcome tomorrow, in the same way we welcomed the live freed prisoners today. Welcome to the martyrs, the Lebanese, Palestinian and Arab martyrs. They are the privilege of this Ummah. On the 12th of July, year 2006, a group of resistance fighters implemented an operation which led to the abduction of two Israeli soldiers. This was in order to liberate the rest of the prisoners in the Zionist prisons. And the most important of these prisoners, the Dean of the Lebanese and Arab detainees, Samir Al-Qantar. On the 16th of July, year 2008, Samir has come back, and before him, Nassim Nasser came back. Samir has come back, and with him are four brothers who fought for the sake of his liberation. Some of them are alive and sitting next to him, and some of them were killed and are martyrs, and we shall welcome them tomorrow. Is it a coincidence for the promise to be made and to be implemented? Is it a coincidence that the dream be achieved in July in the same days? Or is it God's just will? Is it God's will which controls everything? Is it God's will that led to this celebration being in the days of July as well? But anyway, concerning the timing, we can take a lot from this timing. The timing of this swap has a lot of significance, especially for those who look deeply into the matter. How did we reach this result? This, in certain stages, this swap seemed impossible or very far to achieve, a very remote possibility to achieve. The biggest factor, my dear brothers and sisters, the biggest factor which enabled us to implement this prisoner swap, the biggest factor which allowed us to implement this prisoner swap, which we called the Ridwan operation, the biggest factor is the perseverance and the victory in the face of the July 2006 assault and the failure of the enemy in achieving any of its goals, and also the repercussions of this defeat for Israel, this defeat also for the Israeli leadership and people and army. What I am trying to say is, had we been subject to a defeat in July 2006, Samir and his brothers and the martyrs would not have come back, and Lebanon would have lost, and the whole region would have lost, and we would have entered the new Middle East, which the Americans and Zionists tried to promote, even at the very beginning. When Nabih Birri, the parliament speaker, when he began negotiations for the prisoner swap, and when he was subject at the very beginning, when he was subject even during the war, when he was subject to many pressures, and he was a partner in the stage where we were negotiating for this swap, when he was subject to all these pressures, the whole world didn't want to listen to the conditions of Lebanon or what Lebanon had to say. But the only words which were repeated by the delegations who visited Lebanon and repeated by the whole world was that you must release the two Israeli soldiers unconditionally. The perseverance and the victory made Lebanon and made the resistance, made us all stand in a solid way, stand firmly to continue the liberation of our prisoners and our martyrs. And here we must look back at those who fought in that battle, those who were on the front lines, those who were martyred, those who were injured, those who challenged the enemy, those who were standing on the front lines of battle. And the first thing we remember, the first person we remember is the genius, our loved one, Haj Imad Mughniyeh, who was martyred, peace be upon his soul. And we also look back and remember our people, how the people of Lebanon stood courageously in a historic manner, how, of course, all religious sects supported Lebanon. We also remember some of the Lebanese leaders who stood with us. We remember the perseverance of our people. We remember the perseverance of those whose homes were destroyed, whose shops were destroyed, those who, of course, suffered a lot, those who lost their homes, who had to leave their homes because of the war, those who didn't have a place to sleep for 33 days, but they did not complain at all. They did not show any weakness. This perseverance, this victory, is the main factor, the biggest factor which contributed in achieving this prisoner swap, this victory. And the second factor is the negotiations, the very difficult negotiations. We got a lot of help in these negotiations. First of all, the enemy was incapable of bringing back the two soldiers without negotiating. This was very clear if you look at the results of the war. The war ended, and the Israelis knew that they won't get back their soldiers except if they go into negotiations, and there is no other way to get them back. The Israelis realize this. The second point is that the Israeli intelligence was not just unable to know where these soldiers were, but was incapable of knowing what the fate of these two soldiers was. This was also something which helped us in the negotiations. Now, if the Israelis had known the fate of these two soldiers, if there had been a malfunction in the negotiations from Hezbollah, if the Israelis knew the fate of the two soldiers, the negotiations would have took us in a different direction. The third point, which is very, very important, is the fear of the enemy, the fear that they would announce the failure of the negotiations, or that the negotiations would lead to a failure. The Israelis feared that the failure of negotiations would lead the Islamic resistance to go and perform another operation and abduct other soldiers, other Israeli soldiers. So the pressure on the Israeli enemy was not just humanitarian pressure. There was incapability on the Israeli side to save these two soldiers, and incapability of the Israelis to know the fate of these soldiers. And they also feared, the Israelis feared, that the resistance would kidnap or abduct other Israeli soldiers. So if the resistance was forced to abduct more soldiers to free Samir and the other prisoners, it would have done so. It would have abducted more Israeli soldiers. So this was very clear in the discussions held between the Israelis themselves. And during the cabinet meetings by Israel, they spoke about this. Now, when the majority of the Israeli cabinet voted on this prisoner swap, the Israelis started to speak about this issue, and they disrupted the chance of liberating Samir and Nassim and Yahya in 2004. They missed the chance to liberate them in 2004 because of the political challenge at that time between Netanyahu and Ariel Sharon. And we told them, when we welcomed our prisoners in 2004, we told them, you didn't liberate Samir Al-Kontar and you will regret this. This is what we said in 2004. They know, the Israelis know, that if the negotiations wouldn't have reached this stage whereby we have a prisoner swap, we would have then gone to another plan which I don't think Israel is ready for. These are the main factors, and I'd like to add to these factors a fourth factor, which is the perseverance of Samir Al-Kontar. Samir Al-Kontar stood firm. He stood firm, and also he did not back down on his positions. In his letters, he always spoke about his positions, the letters he wrote from prison, and he did not put pressure on us during the negotiations. He did not say, hurry up with the negotiations so I could be liberated. He gave us time so that we could achieve the best possible result for the other detainees. In addition to this, another main point is the perseverance of the other detainees, the fighters. We looked at them on the television screens, in the Israeli courts, and I'd like to tell these fighters, I used to listen. I listen to what you say. The last time I heard you, when one of you was asked a question and answered, you were asked a question, if someone orders you to fight once again, would you fight once again? And so one of the fighters answered and said, if we saw someone going into the sea, we'd go with him without him even requesting. These words made or put tears in my eyes, tears of love for these people, these detainees who did not fear the prison bars. In addition to this, the families of the detainees and the martyrs, the honorable families who put up with a lot, who put their trust in us, who had complete confidence in us, and these families helped and contributed so that we could go in the positive direction in order to reach the best possible result. These are very, very important factors, very important points. Now, in these same negotiations, you must remember, via the result, after we achieved this result, this shows the efforts which were made by our negotiating team, and the talent and expertise of our negotiating team, the perseverance of our negotiating team. Our negotiating team was subject to a lot of pressure, and in the name of you all, in the name of all the martyrs, all the families, I'd like to thank the negotiating team, who are putting their efforts in secret, are practicing jihad in secret for the sake, for the cause of Allah. And we must also recognize the efforts which were made by the international mediator, the efforts made between both sides so that we could reach this result. And so on this occasion, I'd like to thank the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, and also like to thank his envoys to the region. I'd like to thank all those who participated. I'd like to thank the German mediator today. The Dean of Detainees has returned, the Dean of Lebanese and Arab Detainees has returned, and all the detainees who are alive, all of those who are alive in the Israeli prisons, and the bodies of the martyrs, martyrs who belong to different resistance groups, whether they be Lebanese or Palestinian. Of course, these people were martyred decades ago. Now, when Samir went 30 years ago, went to battle, Hezbollah was not found at that time. And when the heroic martyr Dalal al-Mughrabi, when she and her colleagues implemented the very courageous martyr operation, Hezbollah at that time was not born. Now, to bring back these martyrs and to bring back these detainees, bring back live detainees and martyrs today, this has a lot of significance. The most important significance is something which is very much known to the whole world. We must admit to this. The resistance is one project, and what the resistance does, it's the same plan. The plan of any resistance, the plan of resistance is the same. The destiny of the resistance is the same, and the aim of the resistance movements is the same. Although we have different resistance movements, in the end the aim of resistance is the same aim, whether it be from any religious sect, whatever the direction, whatever the ideology of a certain resistance movement be, resistance has the same aim. And second of all, I'd like to stress that the resistance movements in this region, and especially in Lebanon and Palestine, these movements are complete, comprehensive movements, meaning they complete each other. They are stuck together. Their efforts help each other. Their expertise is shared in order to achieve the same goals, to liberate the land, to liberate the human beings. My dear brothers and sisters, we today, with this big number of martyrs, we remember all the sacrifices of the resistance, the Lebanese and Palestinian fighters, the Arab fighters, Islamic, national, all fighters from whatever religious sect, from any ideology. We shed memory on them. We are proud and we appreciate all the factions. We appreciate the contributions of all resistance factions, and we appreciate the sacrifices of all resistance fighters and all the martyrs who went to the front lines of battle of resistance. We take benefit from their experiences, and of course we always take into consideration their sacrifices, and we always speak highly of them. They will never leave our hearts and our memories. And in this context, I'd like to underscore, after what I said, the true identity of the peoples of our region. And this is the main point, the true identity of the peoples of our region, the firm identity of our region, of our ummah, is the identity of resistance and the will of resistance and the culture of resistance and the refusal of occupation and humiliation. Whoever be the occupier and whoever be the tyrant and whoever be those who practice the oppression. And so, for decades, you find that the flag is always raised, the flag of resistance is always raised. It goes from the hands of one group to another, from one faction to another, from one party to another, from one title to another. But all these resistance parties and all these resistance factions, all these titles are just an outside cover. For the main fundamental deep point is that this ummah depends on muqawama. The culture is resistance and we refuse oppression and tyrants. Some people might be killed. Some of us might be killed in battle. Some might change their minds. But Allah always in this ummah and in this region, Allah always brings about somebody to raise the flag and to continue on the path of resistance. And so for this reason, the resistance and the resistance factions in general are setting an example so that the peoples can take benefit from this example, so that future generations can take benefit. And our resistance in Lebanon, after what this resistance achieved, is also trying to set an example so that we will complete each other, so that all resistance movements complete each other, and so that we set an example which all people benefit from. And we are proud to set a general example, even if this will lead to putting us on the lists of terrorist groups in the terrorist countries. Here we must mention the detainees, the men and women who are in the prisons, the Jordanian, Syrian, the Arab prisoners. I'd like to tell my dear colleagues, as I said in the press conference, we have not forgotten them. We have not forgotten them during our negotiations, and we realize the difficulties we are facing, the political difficulties we are facing in these negotiations, and the difficulties concerning the two Israeli soldiers which we held. Now, on the other hand, the Israelis always gave excuses that they were not able to release non-Lebanese prisoners in negotiations with the Lebanese resistance. Now, what we said was that what we are concerned with is that the prisoners will go back to their homes. You can give them to whoever you want, give them to any government, to any country, under any title, under any scenario, in any form whatsoever. We don't want this swap to be attributed to us. If any Jordanian or Arab prisoner is, of course, released, we don't want this to be attributed to us. All we want is that they go home. But what we were able to achieve is that this prisoner swap agreement in the last stage will include the liberation of Palestinian prisoners. Let's not mention here the number and the names. This is the concern of the German mediator and the UN. Now, I believe in the coming period, the UN Secretary General will speak about this. I sent a letter to the UN Secretary General and I called in this letter to free the highest number of women and children detainees and ill detainees. Now, concerning from our perspective, this is a symbolic step, a humanitarian step. We don't expect big results in this step. And our Palestinian brothers know very well the truth and the complications in such a process. But we insisted on the importance of the prisoner swap with the Lebanese resistance to include Palestinian prisoners. without going into names or numbers, so that we could show that we have a common cause with the Palestinians, show that we have a special relationship with the Palestinians, especially from the perspective of jihad. We are proud, we are very happy that our detainees are back, and I'd like now to speak to the Arab world, I'd like to speak to the hundreds of millions of Arabs, to the billions of Muslims. I'd like to speak to the Arab governments and the Muslim governments, and I'd like to speak to some of these governments who are some of the richest countries in the world and who have very, very unique good relations with the United States of America. I'd like to speak to these governments and to the peoples of these countries. Now, on this occasion, the occasion of liberating our prisoners. We have tens of Jordanian and Syrian prisoners. We have many Palestinian prisoners. And it's not right that the Arab and Islamic world forget this cause and say this is only a Palestinian issue and let's leave this to the Palestinian Authority or let's leave this to Hamas or to the Jihad Islamic Group or other Palestinian factions. Or let's leave this to Palestinians in general. This is not only a Palestinian cause. The Arabs cannot say that they are not concerned. This is an incorrect way to deal with this issue from a legal perspective and also from the national perspective and even from the humanitarian, moral and religious perspective. So this ummah must put an end to the sufferings of the thousands of prisoners in Israeli prisons. It must put an end to this suffering. Of course, these prisoners are facing a lot of difficulties psychologically and in any form, and the Arab world has not done anything about this yet. I am one of those who believes in resistance, but to all those who speak about the diplomatic alternative, go ahead, let the Arab diplomacy begin, let the Islamic diplomacy begin, and let these great relations which the Arab governments have with certain countries, let these relations be put for a certain cause. No serious efforts were made in this cause. Of course, we saw some very, very small efforts being made. Let's begin a serious process on an official level, and let's begin with serious efforts on the level of the political parties in all the ummah. And let's all begin in an official way to stand side by side with the Palestinians, with all the Palestinians, and let the Palestinian detainee cause be a live cause, which we work on in the media and in politics and in diplomacy. And some of us work on this cause by resistance on the fields of battle. Let the efforts complete each other so that we could reach the result which we want to reach. I'll go back to Lebanon now. Today, the achievements have been completed. They were completed in one day. After the end of the July 2006 war, we had two goals. The first, to strive to liberate the prisoners via negotiations, via difficult, complicated negotiations. This has been achieved today with the help of Allah. And the second goal is to call for a national unity government. And this has also been achieved today with God's help. And after the war, we stood in the divine victory ceremony and we called for the formation of a national unity government, not to overthrow certain groups, not to bargain, not to disrupt, but we called for this, as I said before, to stand side by side, to stand with each other shoulder to shoulder, to build Lebanon, to protect Lebanon. And today, the Lebanese government, the national unity government, the first government in the new era under the new president has a big historic chance. Today, the National Unity Government met and a picture was taken for the members of the cabinet, and the committee was put to write the ministerial delegation. And it's good, it's very good, and it's not a coincidence, it is very good that what is going on now, what is going on this earth is not coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. This is all prepared by Allah. It is very good that the Lebanese government, the new Lebanese government, the new Lebanese cabinet has met for the first time, and its first mission was to welcome the Lebanese detainees in the airport, the Beirut airport, the airport of the Marty Rafiq al-Hariri. This is, of course, something very good for Lebanon, for the country and for the people. And here, I must also thank President Michel Suleiman, who organized and who also took responsibility and who insisted on welcoming the detainees in this nationalist way, just like his predecessor did, just like the former president did, Emil Lahoud, in the year 2004. The whole country was in Beirut's airport and around Beirut's airport. I'd like also to thank President Suleiman once again. I'd like to thank him for what he has done, and I'd like to thank him for what he said. And I agree with every word he said in his speech when he welcomed the detainees, because when we spoke before, after the Lebanese president, they said we were responding to him. No, we were not responding, we were completing what he said. Today, I don't want to complete or anything else. I agree with every single word which was said by President Suleiman when he welcomed the detainees in the airport. And I'd like to thank also all of those who took part in this welcoming ceremony, the, of course, political figures, the current and former political figures, the MPs, members of government. Sound has been cut. For all of what they said, this is a very, very important day. This is a celebration, a day of celebrations, which we must build upon. And so for this reason, we call once again, we call for reconciliation, and we call to overcome disagreements, and we call also to stay away from hostilities. And also, I request that we take advantage of this opportunity as Lebanese in order to solve all the disagreements, all the problems which our people are suffering from. Let's be unified. Nobody is going into the government to begin with disagreements. Nobody is going in to disrupt any process. Everyone, inshallah, hopefully, everyone in the Lebanese government will participate effectively and seriously in solving the problems of this country, the main problems, and all of them are participating to reinvigorate Lebanon, to make it a country which deserves the sacrifices of its martyrs and of its detainees, with the spirit of unity, not with the spirit of disrupting or cancelling out one another. We, our main concern is that we liberate the rest of our territories, and we in Hezbollah, we are ready to discuss anything as part of a liberation strategy to liberate the Shiba farms and the Kfar Shuba hills and the Ghajar area, which is still under occupation. And our concern, my dear brothers and sisters, our concern is to defend our country, to defend our territory, to defend our water, to defend the sovereignty of our country, to defend our dignity and our people. And we in Hezbollah, we are open to any discussion concerning a national defense strategy. We insist on such a discussion. Some people say that we don't want to go into such a discussion. No, we insist on such a discussion about a national defense strategy. Don't delay this. Let's go over, let's complete this issue. This national defense strategy, which we have been speaking about so long, let's begin with it, because Lebanon is not outside of the circle of threats, is not outside of the circle of danger. We will go to this national defense strategy discussion with a positive spirit, with a serious spirit, and our aim is to protect our country. And we insist on a discussion about national defense strategy, and we insist that all participate in defending and protecting this country, and we insist that the state takes responsibility of defending this country. And then we can go out of this issue of who is manipulating defense or who is manipulating resistance, as if this is a competitive issue. Normally, people stay away from fighting, even the believers. Allah said, you must fight, but fighting is something which you don't like. A person, the nature of a human is that he wants to participate in economics, in business, in politics, but the nature of a human does not like to be detained or to be martyred or to suffer in mountainous regions. So why do they say that we're manipulating, we're practicing, we're monopolizing the resistance? Is it because we brought back our prisoners, or is it because that thousands of our people were killed while they were still young? Do they envy us for that? No. I'd like to tell you today, on this wedding ceremony, we will call on everyone to contribute in protecting this country and to defend this country. And whoever abandons this duty is a betrayer. This is the national responsibility which we must all strive for. And at the same time, and concerning the national unity government, I'd like to stress that we are ready to cooperate in addressing all issues and put two lines under all, without any exception, without any reservations. We are ready to discuss all issues in order to promote the interests of a country, in order to promote the strength of Lebanon, in order for Lebanon to overcome every crisis it faces. During the next few days, it will become clear what the destiny of some missing people was. Of course, we will know who the martyrs are, and based upon this, we can speak about the missing persons in the on the Israeli side. We will also speak about the Iranian diplomats after the report which we received from the international mediator. I'll leave a discussion about this to the next few days. I won't discuss it today, but on the ceremony, the celebration of liberation, the celebration of the resistance, we must not forget the Imam of the resistance, the Imam of the country, the Imam and the hero of freedom, Imam Musa al-Sadr, and we hope he comes back with his two colleagues. And so if our brother Samir is known by the whole world, if he is known to be the dean of Lebanese and Arab detainees because he spent 30 years in the Zionist prisons, Imam Musa al-Sadr now has been kidnapped for 30 years as well. This issue, as I said in my concluding statements during my speech in the ceremony of liberating the detainees, Lebanese detainees in 2004, I'd like to say once again, we don't want to enter into a confrontation with anyone. We don't want to identify anyone as our enemy. We want to close all outstanding and painful issues. And this is for the interests of the Arab countries and for the peoples of the region, peoples of the Arab countries. And the time has come to close this issue, whatever be the end result. A few years ago, I said in a meeting, if Imam Musa Sadr is still alive, bring him back to us and we will thank you. And if Imam Musa Sadr is a martyr, tell us that and send us his body. Martyrdom, of course, is something which Imam Musa Sadr loved, which his family loved. And the issue of Imam Musa Sadr must be closed. We must remove the ambiguity from this issue. It must not be delayed any longer. And I know the sensitivity of the Arab-Arab official relations and the issues being raised concerning this subject. We are reminding you of the issue of Imam Musa Sadr. We're speaking today about detainees, so we must not forget the person who laid the foundations of resistance in Lebanon, who is Imam Musa Sadr. And I call once again for Arab and Islamic cooperation in order to put an end to this issue and in order for Imam Musa Sadr and his two colleagues to come back to Lebanon. My dear brothers and sisters, the free detainees, families of the martyrs and families of the detainees, all of you who are waiting for your loved ones, for the bodies of the martyrs tomorrow, all those who are present, I'd like to congratulate you on this occasion, to congratulate you on this victory, because this victory is your victory, it is your achievement, it is your promise, it is your doing, it is your perseverance, it is your pains. The way you stood firm, this contributed to this prisoner swap. We, of course, made the enemy fail, and we will continue on this path with you. I'd like to pray for all the detainees. I'd like to pray that they would be liberated as soon as possible. And I pray also for Lebanon. I pray that Lebanon deals with this issue just like we saw today, deal with it with national responsibility. Concerning all detainees, especially Samir Kantar, who must be viewed after 30 years, who must be viewed as a very, very rich national treasure, a jihadi national treasure, and we must deal with this person in the appropriate manner after he put up with so much, after he spent all these years, after he was subject to all of these sufferings, after he showed all of his perseverance, after he stood firm. Of course, I hope all the detainees will be freed, and I pray for the souls of all martyrs, for you and for all the all fighters. We pray for victory for Palestine and the Ummah. We hope we'll achieve all dignity, all victories, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well,
رب على اسم عباد الخضر نصور.